Acts chapter 27. That's where we'll take our text tonight. Acts chapter number 27. Thank you for coming out on a Wednesday night. Now, we've been in a series for quite some time on the phases of God's will, the six phases that you'll go through. Anytime that God brings you into something that He's doing in your life, you know, and quick review, we always say, number one, it starts with a vision, the dream of what God's going to do in your life. Then it comes with that, number two, the decision that you're going to do it. Number three comes the delay. And then we've been spending the past couple weeks in number four, which is the difficulties phase, where it's going to get challenged. You're going to go through things. And we've been dealing with that. We're going to deal with that again tonight and next week, and then we'll conclude it and move on to the other ones. But phase five is when you hit the dead end phase, and we kind of started with that one. That's how we started the entire series. And then six is deliverance. But you know, we're going to talk tonight on what to do in phase four. Now remember, there were three things that we said that you've got to decide when you're in the difficulties phase. The first thing you've got to decide is, you know, the reason. Why is this happening? What's going on? Who's created this? Did you create it? Did someone else create it in your life? Is Satan attacking or is God allowing it? You've got to decide why. Then we talked last week about deciding the result. What do you want to happen? What do you want the end result to be? What do you want to learn from this? And God's going to teach you something. So what is it that you're supposed to learn? And tonight we're going to look at the very last question when it comes to it. You got to determine your response. In other words, you're asking yourself, how should I handle this situation? You know, I told my class on Monday night, and I'll tell you again this too. You need to understand this very deep theological fact. And here it is. Life is hard, all right? It is not easy, all right? And you will battle things in your life. You cannot avoid pain in your life, and you cannot avoid adversity. Matter of fact, when you step up and you try to change anything in your life, you're almost welcoming pain, and you're almost welcoming adversity, because Satan will attack anything that you're trying to do for God. He will. Just write it down. Anytime you're stepping out in faith, it's going to be attacked. Anytime that you're convicted by something, and God's laying something on your heart that He wants you to do, and you step out and do it, it's going to be attacked. I tell people all the time, the hardest week you'll have financially is the week you decide to start tithing. It's going to be difficult. You got to understand that those difficulties are going to come. Those challenges are going to be there. And you got to make one of three decisions. Are you going to get bitter, or are you going to get better because of it? You know, are you going to grow, or are you going to shrivel up? Are you going to trust God, or are you going to let your heart get hard? You know, and I've seen people do all three of those different types. You know, you need to start praying, especially in the difficulties phase, and ask God to help you get better and not bitter. It is easy to get bent out of shape when things aren't going right, isn't it? It's easy to get mad and irritated and want to throw that fit, or want to kind of isolate yourselves or get away from things. You know, it's easy to get caught up in what's going on around you and the things that are being said and done around you and to want to respond or react to those things. Now, when we say that you need to determine how you're going to respond, you need to understand that your response cannot be determined by your circumstances, and it can't be determined by how you feel. Because if you respond based on how you feel, you're going to make great, let's just say terrible decisions. You're going to make tragic decisions. You're going to hurt people. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt others. Your feelings change constantly. And I tell people all the time, God didn't ask you to make decisions based on how you feel. He made you to ask decisions and make decisions based on your faith and what you believe. What do you believe that God can do? What do you believe that God is wanting to do? And in your difficulties phase, you will really, really find out what you truly believe you believe about God. You know, and you say, well, how is that going to be possible? How am I going to see that? It's simple. Because you're going to get into it, and it's going to come down to one or two facts. You're either going to rely on yourself, and you're going to say, okay, this is what I believe should happen, or you're going to rely on God. And if you're relying on God, then it works out. You're relying on yourself, then it falls apart. And most people, when they get into the difficulties phase, they start bailing out on what God's doing because it's not going the way they wanted it to go, or in the timing that they wanted it to go. And as a result, they feel like they can do it better. That is the worst decision and the biggest mistake you can ever make in your life, is to feel like you can do it better than God can do it. The good things come to those that, you know, wait on God, those that wait on the Lord, the Bible says He renews their strength. They run and they don't get weary. You know, you've got to step back sometimes and say, okay, God, I'm going to simply trust You. And I'm going to follow You in this. Tonight, we're going to go back to the story of Paul. And that's how we've kind of dealt with the difficulties phase with Paul when he was on the ship and everything was falling apart. Remember, he told them, let's not go out here. Let's not sail because there's going to be a storm. Well, they went anyway. He was a prisoner, so he had to go. They get out there and the storm starts raging. The ship starts falling apart. And next thing you know, they're in a shipwreck. And we compare that to our lives. There's a lot of times that, man, we hit shipwrecks in our lives that we aren't expecting and things that we didn't plan, whether in a relationship or in a work place or career or with our friends or families. There's all different types of emotional, spiritual shipwrecks that you will go through in life. And Paul's on this, and all of a sudden, you know, that what he had predicted, what he had seen God reveal to him, and that what he had revealed to them started taking place. And I want you to look at verse number 15 of chapter 27 of Acts, if you would, real quick. And we're going to look at a few things of what not to do in the difficulties phase, all right? So I'm going to give you four things tonight on what you should not do when you're in the difficulties phase. And then the next week, I'll give you the things that you should do during this phase. But I want you to remember something, okay? You need to look at it and realize that when you're going through something and you're being challenged in life, what's happening to you is not near as important as what God is wanting to do through you. And you got to sit there and you got to realize that, okay, what might be happening to me might not even hold a candle to or even illuminate what God is trying to do through me, what God is trying to do in me and because of me. In your life, when you go through difficulties, God is teaching you things that will last you a lifetime if you're sitting there listening and willing to learn what it is He's showing you. You know how you avoid going through the same difficulties again and again and again? You learn the first time when you go through something. If you learn it the first time, there's a good chance you won't go through it the same way another time. But if you refuse to learn what God's trying to teach you in the difficulties phase, then write it down, chalk it up, you will go through this phase again. You will go through it until you learn it. How many of you have ever had that kid or the teenager that you were trying to teach a lesson and they just weren't getting it? And because they weren't getting it, it just seemed like you had to keep repeating the lesson you were trying to teach them. Keep repeating the groundings or keep repeating the punishment. How many of you ever went through something like that? You know, the truth is, as you sit there in your mind and you think, man, if they would just listen, if they would just learn what I'm trying to teach them, we could move on. You know, God feels the same way about you. If you would just learn what He's trying to teach you, then you can move on in life. Say, I want to get to the deliverance phase, though. You don't get there until you go through this phase. You don't get there until you go through that difficulty to where your faith is tested. See, God wants to see just how much you trust Him. In other words, God knows what He's capable of, but God is not going to give you things that you are not capable of. How many of you have heard the verse that God never puts on us more than we can bear? All right? How many of you realize that verse is dealing with temptation? All right, you understand that? You know, it's not dealing with life circumstances. Matter of fact, it is common for God to push you further than you know you could go. You know why? Because God wants to teach you just how strong you can be in Him. He wants to show you just how much you can do in Him. So instead of sitting there and saying, well, God will never put on us more than we can bear, so why is this happening? You need to understand that God will never let you be tempted more than you can bear. But God is going to test your faith. And God is going to increase your faith. And God is going to push you out deeper. And God is going to ask you to do things you've never done before. Things that you don't even think you can do. Matter of fact, if you look at Peter when he's in that boat and he looks at Jesus and says, I want to come to you. And Jesus says, well, come on. You know, do you think Peter had ever thought of getting out of a boat and trying to walk on water before that moment? No, but he saw Jesus doing it. Because he saw Jesus doing it, guess what? He wanted to do it. And I'm going to tell you, in your difficulties phase, you need to look at what Jesus did during those phases of His life. Jesus went through difficulty and He went through all different kinds. The Bible says He was tempted in every way that you and I have been. You know, but He was without sin. And so you need to analyze, what did Jesus do during this phase? What did Jesus do? And I love that whole analogy. You know, Peter saw Jesus, saw what He was capable of, and because he saw what Jesus could do, it entered into his mind, well, maybe I can do that too. Well, maybe I can step out in faith, and maybe I can walk on the water, and maybe I can, you know, and I dare say that many people have never experienced just how much Christ can do in their lives because they've never seen what Christ is capable of. They've never dove deep. They've never really expanded their faith. They've never really sought out to see what Christ can do. And as a result, they've never seen it, so they never try it. They never want to see it. They never want to be a part of it. They don't believe it exists. Every church that preaches that healing has ceased is a church that has never seen someone healed. That's the truth. But a church that has seen someone healed, a church that has seen God like we have seen in the past month or so, blinded eyes being able to see, a church that has seen that once more, they want to see it again. They want to realize that, hey, if God can do that, then what else can God do? If God can do that, then let's keep going. You know, and I don't know where you're at in life, but I'm going to tell you this. In your difficulties phase, you will find out, number one, what you're capable of. But more than that, you will find out what God is capable of if you will simply allow your faith to increase. So let it grow, right? So let's look at this in verse 15. Step number one of things not to do. Read this with me. They couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. Now here they are. They're in the middle of the storm. And here's what they do. Number one, they begin to drift. The wind was too hard. Things were too hard. Life was too hard. And they said, okay, we're done fighting this. I'm so sick of this. So let's just let it go and let's just see what happens. Can I tell you this? In the difficulties phase, make sure you do not stop fighting the fight of faith. Make sure you don't just give up and go drifting. Matter of fact, in our day and time, we call drifting coasting. And when you're coasting, you need to understand this, write it down, you are never coasting uphill, you're always coasting downhill. Anytime in life that you are just drifting by, anytime in life that you are just going with the wind, anytime in life that you are just kind of letting things happen and you're just going with the flow, can I tell you, your life is going downhill. You need to understand that life is difficult. It is hard. And you've got to get this mentality that you're in it to win it. You're not in it to let life be dictated to you. You're in it to experience the joy of life, the abundance of life that God has laid out for you. And they said, man, this wind is too hard. We give up. How many times do we do that in life? How many times do we get out? I'm the same way. I give up so many times because it gets a little bit more difficult than I'm willing to go through. And so I just give up on a dream. I give up on a hope. I give up on a relationship. I give up on somebody. You know, I'm going to tell you this right now. You need to understand that if life is going to be hard, it is safe to say that every area of life is going to be hard at times. Well, let's look at it this way. Are there times that your health is going to be challenged? Yes, I've experienced that the past couple days. I don't know what kind of sickness I had. I wasn't, no stopped up nose, no vomiting, no stomach issues, but I felt like I'd been run over and I was running 102 temperature and I just could not stand up. You know, anybody ever had that? You know, it almost felt like the flu, but not the flu, you know? And so today I've been doing the whole sweat thing, you know? It's like you bundle up and everything you can and you sweat it out, and that's what it's been. And it's a good feeling to know you're breaking a temperature, but it's a terrible feeling to be sick. Now, I don't know about you, but tonight, I did not want to come to church because I did not feel good. All right? Now, the difference in me being able to make that decision and you being able to make that decision is if I didn't show up, somebody else has to stand up here. If you don't show up, we just pray for you, right? You know? And so the thing is it's like, okay, am I sick enough to stay home or am I just wanting to? Now, could I do it? Or do I just want to kind of lay down and rest a little bit? But you know what I've noticed when I'm sick? The more I stay closed in while I'm sick, the worse I feel. Anybody else feel like that? But if I'll open the door and go sit on a porch, or if I'll go sit on the stairs, or I'll just step out in the yard for a second, let the sunlight hit my skin, man, sometimes it feels like, man, a whole new world's out there. You know what I mean? It's like I can get over this. I can get through this. Sometimes that cold shower or that warm bath just kind of makes things a little bit better. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm the only one. But I just feel like, man, you got to kind of step out of that woe is me attitude and into that I'm going to kick this. Now, I want you to understand, not only does your health get attacked, but many times your relationships are going to get attacked. And there, matter of fact, While you're trying to grow in your relationship, understand that that relationship is going to go through difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. You know why? Because that's what it takes to grow anything. There has to be a challenge. If there is no challenge, you're bored with your relationship. And when you become bored with your relationship, the challenge becomes how to get excited about it. You know, and the truth is if you want a thriving relationship, you need to stay excited about that relationship. You need to look at each other with an excitement. You need to do things that bring something new into it. You need to go out with your friends. You need to have a good time. You need to not do the same thing every single day of your life. You know, it is almost a biblical practice. Matter of fact, it is biblical to do something that brings rest and enjoyment into your life. You cannot do the same thing all the time and expect life just to go and go by and be all peaches and cream. It's not going to happen that way. You have got to work it. And by working it, it's going to be challenged. But a lot of people, when their relationships get challenged, their health gets challenged, they quit. They throw in the towel. You know, I've seen people all the time. I get it. You know, I get text messages all the time. It amazes me some of the excuses people use to miss church. You know, I stubbed my pinky toe. That's been one of them. I shrunk my kids' laundry and I'm just emotional wreck and I can't make it. And I'm like, okay, that makes no sense. What that is that's you shutting down. That's you saying life got hard today and because it got hard today, I quit. I'm just going to let this coast through and tomorrow I'll pick it up. You know what happens? You know what happens? Someone who controls the wind controls your destiny. Whoever's blowing into your sails is going to be the one controlling your ship. And if it's somebody that doesn't care about you, they're going to be blowing you out of the picture. And if it's somebody that wants to use you, they're going to be blowing you to the area that they want to use you. And if it's somebody that doesn't really have an interest in your well-being, then they're going to manipulate you and do everything they can. They're going to hurt you. You need to understand this. You've always got to be in control of where the ship is going. And the Bible says you need to do this. And matter of fact, I love how it says that, you know what we use to guide a ship, and it's the same member in our bodies, is the same as a rudder on a boat, is our tongue. And what we say and what we speak is... It determines the course of our entire life. And I'm going to tell you, in our lives, we got to make this decision that during the difficulties phase, we're not going to drift. We're not going to just let our relationships go on autopilot. And we're not going to let people just think that, you know, okay, this is how we're going to do, and we're just going to sail through this, and that's all it's going to be. Can I tell you this? Never assume that the people you love know you love them. All right? And never assume your children know that you care. Never assume that your husband knows that you're in love with him. Never assume that the people at your work know that you appreciate them. Never assume it. Well, they should know it just by my attitude. No, they need to hear it. They need to see it. They need to experience it. When you just assume it, you allow their thoughts, their minds, and ideas to rule their lives. And as a result, they create things that should not exist, that do not exist, that destroy. How many fears have you created in your life that never took place? But because somebody didn't confirm something for you, your mind went crazy. And while it was going crazy, you thought up all these things that never happened. I know I'm guilty of that several times, all right? So number one, don't ever let something cause you to drift. Number two, all right? Don't discard. Look at verse number 18. Watch this. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. Now, number two, I want you to understand this. Don't abandon things in your life when things aren't going well. Don't start bailing out and leaving your spouse. And don't start, you know, changing all your friendships just because you're in a difficulty. You know, they threw their food, they threw their clothing, they threw everything they could off the ship just to try to make sure that they could salvage themselves during the storm. And a lot of times in life, you know what I see people do during difficulties? They throw off their values. They throw down their relationships. They throw down the things that matter and that they should be holding on to because they're in a panic. And can I tell you this? The one thing you should never discard are the things that you know are constant in your life. I see people all the time bailing out of church because things are going hard for them. I see them bailing out of circumstances because things get difficult. I see people making terrible financial decisions because they're backed up into a corner. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're having a hard time managing your debt and your finances, a new credit card is not the answer for you. It might buy like a little bit of a breathing window, but guess what? In 30 days, you're going to get a bill for that, and you've just increased the problem, not decreased it. That's why we tell people all the time, impulsive decisions most of the time wind up being bad decisions. They wind up with bad consequences. And you don't need to be making these abandonment decisions when things are going bad. First thing they do is they let go of the cells. Next thing they do, they start throwing things overboard. They even wanted to jump overboard. They even wanted to throw the prisoners overboard. They wanted to do everything they could to try to save their lives. And can I tell you this? When you discard your values in life, you are not saving your life, you're destroying it. Now, what are values? Somebody tell me. When I say values, what do you think we're talking about? Honesty. Okay, somebody else. Morals. Ethics. Integrity. Huh? Things you're basing your life on. Things you're holding dear. Your what? Your honor. Your pride. Your faith. You know, yeah, those are values. Those are valuable things. Now, can I tell you this? I sat in my office about 3 years ago with a girl. She was bawling her eyes out, and she was telling me how, you know, she'd always prayed that God would give her a certain guy, you know, and I believe in that. And so she had found this guy, and they'd been dating for a couple years, and everything was going great. And one of the things that she valued in life was her virginity, and she did not want to give it up. And so they had been dating 2 years, and they were engaged, and they were 4 months away from being married. And he kept pressuring her and pressuring her and pressuring her to sleep with him because they were engaged. And she said, "What do I do?" She said, "It's making everything in our relationship terrible. He's bitter at me, angry at me, says I don't love him," and all these things. You know, all the things that they will tell you. And I said, "You hold on to what you believe, what you have valued in life, and you don't give in." Well, 2 weeks later, she's sitting in my office, she's bawling again. And I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I gave in to him, and he broke up with me right after." And I said, "Listen, in times of difficulty, you need to understand that there is no excuse to turn from what you have always believed and held true in your life. The problem with us is this: most people do not know what they value when it comes to what they believe doctrinally and what they believe through all these things. They do not know what it is that they value when it comes to the things of God. They do not know what it is to value when it comes to things about themselves, because they have allowed others to dictate who they are and what they believe. Can I tell you this? You need to know your own value and know your own worth and not allow other people to tell you where you're valuable or where you're not worth something or where you are worth something. You've got to know through God who you are and through God what you believe, or otherwise the difficult times are going to come and you're going to start belling out things you should be hanging on to. Why in the world would you throw food overboard? You're going to have that to survive. You ever thought, you know, I was reading that the other day and I was just like, why in the world would they do that? What are they going to eat after the storm is over? What are they going to eat after it's gone? They're throwing it out. But how many times do we get into difficult things and we throw out what's important to us, and we discard what we believe simply because we want an immediate result or immediate satisfaction or immediate relief? Can I tell you this? In my life, I've always had that battle with addiction. And I don't know if you admit it or not, but many of us, if not all of us, have something we're addicted to, whether television, substance, different. You know, we all have something that we reach for in our time of need. Maybe music, different things like that. You know, but my substance turned into that alcohol. And even to this day, I have to watch myself, because when things get difficult, the first thought that goes through my mind is, man, it would be nice to go get a drink. That's the first thing I think every time. Now, I'm admitting that. I'll be totally vulnerable in front of you tonight. I'm not perfect. The good news is the further I can get away from that addiction in the time of my life that was a part of it, the stronger I am to say, no, I'm not going to discard what I've worked so hard for, because I know that the life I had before this was not as good as the life I have today. Now, I have to remind myself that this is worth hanging on to. This is worth believing in. This is worth saying, God, what you have given me is way better than what I used to have. And for that point, I'm keeping this on the ship. I'm not throwing it overboard. I'm not going to jump off the wagon or whatever you want to call it, because you are more to me than this substance or whatever this is that I believe can make me feel better. You cannot discard. You cannot throw away what God has given you. I like that quote that says, and I can't remember who said it, but never forget in the dark what God has shown you in the light. Never forget what you have seen God do and the promises that He's revealed to you. When things are hard, you need to hold true. The key to every relationship, I believe, is you need to set some goals and standards for yourself in the dating and courting phase. And then when you get married, set some goals and standards for yourselves that y'all are going to achieve. And when you have kids, you set new goals and standards, and you work hard to achieve those things. All right, stay focused on me tonight. All right, stay with me. All right, we might need to throw some help in there because it seems like we're not getting too much. All right, a lot of kids coming out, but anyway. You need to understand that when we go into life and when we go into these things, we cannot abandon what God has taught us already when we were okay. Now, how many of you today would say, you know what, my life today is better than it used to be? Would you slip your hand up? All right. It does not mean your life is going to stay that way. Matter of fact, you will go through seasons of darkness all the time in your life. You'll go through seasons of challenge all the time, difficulties all the time in your life. Matter of fact, when you feel like you have succeeded and you have passed the six phases, guess what? They start over again with something else because God is going to keep expanding you. And when you're going through those, you're going to have new challenges and new difficulties. And when you say in your mind, this is who I'm going to be, and I'm making sure that I'm going to be this man of God, this woman of God, God, I'm going to hold on to your truths no matter what, then you will go a whole lot further and you'll get through the difficulties phase a whole lot faster than those who have no standards or goals. That's why I say that every dating couple needs to know their boundaries when it comes to the physical, when it comes to the emotional, and when it comes to the verbal commitments that they're going to make before they start dating. If you do not know that, the backseat of a car or the movie theater or somewhere else where you get alone and it gets hot and heavy, you're going to be challenged. And if you haven't already made up your mind, you're going to make a mistake. It's too late to try to set boundaries when you're already in the heat of the moment. You need those boundaries set before those moments come. So the difficulties phase actually can be combated by pre-education rather than trying to get educated during the storm. In other words, knowing that you have got to stand strong, knowing what you need to believe before you go into the difficulty, it helps a whole lot with you getting through the difficulty. Number three, don't leave the ship. Look at this. In verse 31, look at what they did. All of a sudden, Paul comes to them and he says, hey, he tells the commanding officer and the soldiers, you will all die unless the sailors stay aboard. They're all saying, abandon ship. Let's leave. Let's get out. And Paul's saying, hey, listen, you'll all die if you jump out of this. Do you know that for 14 days they didn't see the sun? They didn't see the stars, nothing. For 14 days they were in a storm that they could not get their bearings. They could not get their where they were going. And they were adrift. And for 14 days they had no idea where they were going or where they were. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in life I feel like I have no idea where I'm going or what God's trying to do in my life. You ever have those moments where it's just like, I have no idea what you're trying to do, God. I have no idea where I'm at. I have no idea where to go. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what to do. I'm going to tell you this. Stay on the ship. Stay in the boat. Stay in the safety of who God is and who He has created you to be. Here's something you need to never forget. God promises He will never leave you and never forsake you. If you feel like you're far from God, God didn't move. So guess who did? All right? It is not God that's taken and removed Himself from you. It is you that are hiding yourself from who He is. You need to stay on board the things that God has taught you and shown you. You need to say, hey, look, I'm going to live my life based on God's standards and no one else's. Why do you think we're starting so many focus groups? We got focus group, resurrection class, grief 101 is what we're calling it. How to overcome hurts and pains. Now we got grief 102, all right? What to do next after you've overcome it. We've got a class starting on divorce and how to heal from a divorce. And we got other, you know, celebrate recovery coming in. And different things. We've got all kinds of focus groups that are starting up, marriage groups and different things. Why do you think we're doing that? Because it is important for people to know what they need to believe based on who God is, know where safety is, know where they can go in times of trouble. You need to understand that God is your rock. He is your fortress. He is your strong tower. David said all those things. He is your high tower. He's the place of refuge. He is the place of peace. He is the place of safety. And if you're going to make it through the difficulties, you need to stay firm on the things that you know God has said. And that is where most people fail right there. They bail out on their faith. They bail out on the things that God has revealed to them. They bail out on the things that God has taught them. You know, the worst thing you can ever do is forget what you have already learned in life. You know, to forget what you've already been through. I've heard someone say it this way. Never forget how far you've come. Because if you remember how far you've come, it cuts down how far you have to travel. And I like that. Think about it. Never forget how far you've already come. Because if you can remember that, it'll shorten the distance you still got to go. Because if you don't remember that, guess what? Next thing you know, you'll be traveling that same road again. You'll be doing those same things again. You know what? I tell people all the time, can you biblically prove that a sip of alcohol is wrong? No, you cannot. Jesus turned water into wine, okay? But to me, I know what a sip of alcohol is. It's the entire bottle or the entire fifth. Anybody ever had an alcohol problem? You know what I'm talking about? It can't stop with the one. It doesn't stop with a glass. It doesn't stop with a shot. It goes on and on and on. You say, well, if you know that, you should be able to stop that. I can't. And so here's what I know. Don't take the shot. Don't take the sip. Don't even get around it. You know why? Because you are not safe there. You know where you're safe? Completely far away from it. Completely not in your hand, not in your mouth. Don't even taste it. You know, don't even smell it. You know why? Because your safety net has you in a place where that cannot exist. And if that exists in your life, you're not safe anymore. You're not going to make rational thought. You're going to give in. Now, many of you, it would be easier for us to relate with that with junk food. How many of you are potato chip people? You like the salt, all right? Burns my lips. I'm the sugar guy. How many of you like the sweets? All right, there you go. You're one or the other. All right, there we are. So we just divided you in half right there. The truth is this. If it was allowed and I wasn't going to get sick, and I could eat sweets all day long and that all I could eat, and eat nothing else, I would eat sweets 24/7 and never stop. Anybody else like that? I mean, I really could. You know, give me the Little Debbie brownies that have, like, not the nuts, but the little candy pieces on top. I could eat those all day long. All right? Give me the Oreos, the milk, I'm gone. Right? So, if I diet, what do you think the number one thing that has to be omitted from our house has to be? Sweets. Bring in all the potato chips you want. They're not going to faze me. Now, my wife is a potato chip person. And I'm the sweets person. Which that doesn't make it very easy to diet. You know, because her little guilty pleasure is totally different than my guilty pleasure. And so the next thing you know is she's trying to quit chips. And I'm trying to eat them, all right, because I'm trying to get a snack. And I'm trying to quit sweets and she's trying to eat them. And here we're feeding each other's habit. And the next thing you know, we're giving up. I'll never forget years ago when we first started dieting together, my wife was doing P90X in the living room and I was sitting there watching her eating like delivered pizza. You know, I was sitting there eating my slices of Domino's and she's like, that's just not fair. And I'm like, well, I'm not working out. So, and then I realized, wow, that's not right. And so guess what? You know when we started losing weight? When we decided to work at it together. All right. When we did it as individuals, neither one of us lost weight. But when we got in a routine together, we both lost weight. All right, now I don't need you questioning what happened to that agenda, all right? But I do want you to understand something. We had to realize our limitations. And we had to say we are safest when this isn't present. We're safest when we're doing this. We're safest when we're not doing this. And when we'd go to the grocery store and she'd reach for a bag of chips, I'd say, honey, you can't. And when I'd reach for a thing of Oreos, she'd say, hey, no, you can't. You've done so good. And when you're driving down the road and it's 11 o'clock and you're starving and it's 11 p.m. and Taco Bell's open, you got to remind each other, you've worked too hard to give it up for one burrito. Now, how many of you say, I can relate to that analogy? All right? Truth is this. Many of us have worked hard to overcome some sins and weaknesses in our life and in our past. Many of us have worked hard to overcome the guilt and shame that we carried because of things that we had done or been done to us. How many of you can say amen to that? Can I tell you this? Just like you need to stay away from sweets if you're a sweets person on a diet, just like you need to stay away from potato chips if you're a potato chip person and you're on a diet, you need to stay away from the things that set you back in your faith, the things you have fought to overcome. You say, how do I do that? Stay on board the ship that God has put you on. The ship that has brought you to where you are, not the one that's going to take you back to where you've already been. Stay aboard. Don't bail out. Last thing we're going to look at tonight. Look at verse number 21, or 20 if you would. Verse 20 says this. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. You know when you're at a dangerous place in life, when you have no hope? When you do not have something to believe in, something to look forward to, something that you're gearing your life towards, you're in a very dangerous place in life. That is the place that I worry about you doing something physically to yourself that you shouldn't, or spiritually to yourself that you shouldn't. When all hope is gone, you are in a very dangerous set of mind. And can I tell you this? You do not, number four, need to despair. That's where we go back to, hey, the Bible says that God has never left you. God has never forgotten you, and God is always with you. God is with you, even in the storms. Can I tell you this? It is never God's will for you to run from difficulty. Will you write that down? It is never God's will for you to run from something difficult. No, God wants you to embrace the difficulties. He's testing you to see if He can trust you. He wants to build your faith. He wants to teach you something. He wants you to learn, and He wants you to grow. And if you're going to learn, and if you're going to grow, then you have got to say, okay, God, what is it that you want me to learn in this? That's the result. And then you say, okay, God, this is how I'm going to respond to this. This is what I'm going to do. Instead of giving up, instead of bailing out, instead of throwing things overboard, instead of breaking down and giving up hope, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to depend on you. And I'm going to believe that you haven't forgotten me. You ever have those moments where you wonder if God sees you? Or if God cares about you? The truth is this. You have never breathed a breath that God has not witnessed. And you have never committed an action that God wasn't there in the grandstands watching and rooting you on. You've never battled a storm that God wasn't in it. Matter of fact, most times, without you even realizing it, God was the umbrella keeping you dry from the things that were trying to destroy you. You say, well, Brother Josh, then why is life so hard? Because exactly this point, you live in a world that is messed up and broken. And you cannot have a perfect life in a broken world. And you cannot have a perfect relationship in a broken world. You cannot have a perfect faith in a broken world. And that is why you've got to be determined. I'm going to respond to adversity this way. I'm going to believe that God is God, and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to serve Him no matter what. I'm going to say, God, I give you my hopes, I give you my dreams, but I also give you my trust that no matter what I go through in life, I know that you will never leave me nor forsake me. I know that you will never let me be destroyed. The Bible says that God won't let you be cast down. No, God will not condemn you Himself. And if God's not going to condemn you Himself, then how in the world would He let something of this world condemn you? You need to understand that storms are temporary and that you will make it through it. But you have got to have faith. If you do not have faith, if you do not learn, if you do not trust, you will repeat the difficulty again. So I want you to bow your heads tonight. I want you to close your eyes.